Yesterday we started speaking about the concept of Bris Krusa. So let's spend a few more minutes on this concept of Bris Krusa, that if we recite the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, we have a covenant, we have a commitment from on high that Hashem will not reject our tefillos. Eino chozeres reikon. And in the pasuk, that's called Kigodol Chasdecha. That's the godless of Hashem's chesed, that he gave us this bris. But the pasuk also has another bechina, another category, which is called Kasher Nasasa. And that means that even if we're not on a level, and our tshuva is not a really sincere total tshuva, nevertheless Hashem has rachmim for us. And we had a Gemara in Tainis. The Gemara in Tainis says that tefilas hatzibur nishmas af kishe ein lev shalem. So the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva speaks about tzaaka b'lev shalem, and yet the Gemara in Tainis says even if it's not b'lev shalem. So we suggested that there are two types of kind of categories. There are two approaches or two roads. One path is the path of B'lev Sholem. And if there's tefillah on part of the tzibur B'lev Sholem, then we have the Bris Krusa. Eino chozeres reikon. However, without this condition of tefillah B'lev Sholem, we don't have the Bris Krusa. What we have is a separate bechina of Kasher Nasasa, that sometimes Hashem will respond and hearken to the tefillah of the tzibur, even if it's not B'lev Sholem. Now, what would determine whether or not the people would come forward with a tefillah b'lev shalem or not? Sure. So he quotes a Gaon. The Gaon says on the pasuk in Parshas Vayelech, it says, "Vanochi haster astir ponai b'yomahu." What Hashem does is, if He really wants to come down hard on us, and that's the tochacha, then He hides His face, which means you don't see the divine providence in history. And we think that events that are very troublesome are a result of natural cause and effect. That's called Derech Mikra. And what's going to happen is that instead of the people davening B'lev Sholem, because they realize that this is all divine, when there's a period of Hester Ponim and they don't think it's divine, but rather they attribute it to natural cause and effect, then the people don't come forward with a Lev Sholem. And if they don't come forward with the Lev Sholem, they forfeit the bris of Eino Chozeres Reikon. Again, they might, on occasion, somehow merit divine mercy, but it's not guaranteed in any sense, because Hashem is deliberately covering and hiding His face in history so that we won't come forward. We'll just say, you know what, this is Darko Shalom, this is the way the world goes. Now Rashi, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah on Bris Krusa, Rashi writes, Im yazkirum b'tfilas ta'anisam eino chozeres reikom. Rashi adds a stipulation here that we're talking about tefillah on a tainis. So perhaps what Rashi means to say is that the reason why there's a bris krusa of Eino Chozeres Reikom, a divine commitment, is because on the tefillah of a tainis, there's tefillah b'lev shalem. The people get together as a community on a fast day, and one strengthens the other, and they're dedicated to a tefillah b'lev shalem. And that tefillah b'lev shalem is what activates the bris krusa. The Gemara in Chulin on Daf Kuflu Amites Amid Beis, Esther Menatorah Minayin, Shenemar Vanochi Haster Aster Esponai. So the Gaon, in his commentary on Esther, at the very beginning of Megillas Esther, he asks the Kasha, why does the Gemara bother Esther Minayin? We have many tzaddikim, many of them are written in the Tanakh. It doesn't say Minayin. Well, we don't find Moshe min HaTorah Minayin. I don't know, we don't find Aaron min HaTorah Minayin. Well, maybe that's because it's explicit, but if you go through, you know, Elisha or Elio or all the greats that brought about miracles throughout Jewish history, it doesn't say in the Gemara Minayin. What here, therefore, is unique about Esther, that we're looking for a pasuk for Esther? So the Gaon answers the following, that at the time of Mordechai V'Esther, the people did not feel that what was happening was part of a divine plan. Their sense was that this is Derech Mikre. How does the Gaon know such a thing? Because the Pasuk says in the fourth parak of Esther, Vayagedlo Mordechai Eis Kol Asher Karahu. And the word Karahu comes from the Shorish of Mikre. That Klal Yisrael thought that what was happening to them with the Gzeir of Haman was part of the cause and effect of history. I mean, just like there's a natural law of biology and in the physical world, there's also a natural cause and effect relationship in history. And there's going to be battles, there's going to be hatred, there'll be decrees. So the Gemara is now asking, according to the Gaon, Minolan, where do we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this hanhogim when she covers his hand in history to such extent that the people don't understand, the people of Israel don't appreciate that this tzara is a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they're not going to be mispalel to be mevatel gzeira. And the Gemara answers, Anochi haster astir, which means that God says, I will cover my face. There will be times in history when people will say, Asher Karo, that this is just happening. It's part of the natural flow of events, of cause and effect. What about Esther? Did Esther herself understand that this was part of a divine plan? So he quotes the Nesivos. The Nesivos has a commentary on Megillas Starim, a commentary on the Megillah called Megillas Starim, and he interprets on the pasuk. It says, "Umardachai Yodas Kol Asher Nase." Now, you know, according to a simple pshat, what that means is nothing more than Mordechai was aware of all the events. You know, he read about the Gzeir of Haman in the newspaper, the local paper. But the Nesivos adds another deeper meaning to this pasuk, Umardachai Yodas Kol Asher Nase, She Yoda Hagzeira Sher Nigzera Baruach Hakodesh. He knew that this was part of a divine decree, and how did he know so? Because he had Ruach HaKodesh. V'hoi yodea, and Mordechai knew, ki derech ha'am shaloshav al makeu, he says that the people of Israel did not necessarily do tshuva, because they attribute what happens to them to all sorts of sibos, meaning cause and effect, and instead of begging and petitioning the Sari Mala, the upper heavens, Al Nafsham, they're not going to do so. Lachain, therefore, says the Nesivos, Kara, with an ayin, Kara B'godov, Kel Meis. Why? Ki Kriya, what's the purpose of Kriya? Kriya means something terrible happened. And there are two ways of responding, of relating to such a thing. We could say, all right, it happened, it's in the past, and let's go on. There's nothing you can do about it. The other way of saying it is that, no, I want to declare that this is part of a divine plan, and that has to awaken me to do tshuva. It's not part of just the natural flow of events. And therefore, Mordechai takes sak v'efer, and the pasuk says, yutzal l'rabim. What does it mean, Yutzal Rab? He makes sure that everyone participates in this public demonstration of grief and mourning, so that they would understand and appreciate that everything that was happening was because of Hashem. And they won't go back and on the old ways and say, well, these are different sibos and causes. Esther sends Mordechai Begodim. And again, the pasuk says, "Vayagedlo eskol asher karo." Esther sholchelo begodim l'ramezlo. This was a hint or a some sort of a concealed message. Ki etzel rachamim tzarech gam kein sibos al kein v'im yesh ezek zera taskil levakish me'es hamelch vasorim. In other words, what she was saying to Mordechai is that we have to operate within the framework of nature, the natural order of events. We have to work on the king and all his counsel and see how we can undermine this decree. Mordechai lo kibel. Mordechai refused to accept these begadim. Sharamazla shalo yo'ilu, that all the natural implementation that you want to do, all the step by step process is worthless. It's in vain. So therefore, the Gemara asks the following question: Echi tochin sheester atzadekes? How could it possibly that Esther, who is such a tzadekes, would think that maybe we could operate within the frame of nature and undermine this decree? And the Gemara answers: Anochi haster aster. That there is a hanhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Hester Panim to such an extent that even tzaddikim will think it's derech mikre, and they won't come to the level of being mispala b'lev shalom. So this is a very, very new insight into the Gemara in Chulin of Minayin, and the Gemara is asking Minayin, how could it be that even Esther herself, the great tzaddikis, would think that maybe we could solve this problem? You know, if you would apply this to today's contemporary life here in the Middle East, I guess you would say that many people think that with all the difficulties and the adversaries that we face here and there, you know, but we still have the power and we will find a way of destroying all our enemies. But that's if we assume that what's happening in Jewish life is a matter of natural political cause and effect. It's the flow of history. So within that flow of history, we can find methods of destroying our enemies. But on a deeper level, if there's Hester Panim, it means we are interpreting and attributing all these events to nature, but in truth, it's part of a divine plan. And at the end of the day, unless we're Mispal B'Lev Shalem, we're not going to be Zochet to the Bris Krusa, to that covenantal agreement. Then the Gemara in Chulin goes on, it says, Mardachai min HaTorah minayin. Dechsiv mar dror, and that's the Gemara that we had yesterday. U'metargirin lei meira dechaya. And perhaps we could explain this Gemara based on the Bir Agra in Esther. Sheba'odam yesh dalid chushim. Man is endowed with four senses. Shmia, Re'ia, Reach, V'dibur. He's missing Mishmush. Okay, fine. Now, three out of the four are dedicated to Limud Torah. Why? Because we need Re'ia to see the Torah, we need Shmia to hear the Torah, we need Dibur to speak the Torah and communicate it. But Reach has no connection to Torah. So what is Reach? What does it symbolize? He b'chinas ha'tfilah. Ishei means the karban, the tefillah, which is replacing the karban, is reach nichoch l'Hashem. Mordechai is the b'chin of reach. As the pasuk says in Shmos, mar dror, and mar dror is tefillah, is the smell, the aroma of tefillah. And Mordechai is going to play a major role to impact, to awaken the people of Israel to tefillah, to be mispalet. I mean, again, he's going to do this together with Esther, obviously. So the Gemara says in Megillah, we didn't get to this yet, that Ben Yair is a reference to Mordechai, Sheheir einem shel Yisrael b'tefilaso. Do you see that Mordechai is playing a major role in tefillah? Then the Gemara goes on to speak about the fact that he's Ben Yor Ben Shimi, right? Mordechai is described as Ben Shimi, Ben Sheshoma El Tfiloso. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to the tefillah of Mordechai. Then it says Ben Kish, Shehikish Al Dalsei Rachim. He bangs on the doors of mercy. Ratzalomar. Shekola b'chino shalom, all the greatness of Mordechai is b'tefillah. Yair, he's called Sheheir name shalom b'tefillah. That's re'ia. That's the chush ha-re'ia. Shimi, sheshava el tefillah. That Shmia Kish Shehikish Al Dalse Rachmim is Dibur. So the Gaon basically says that what Mordechai was able to do, he was able to galvanize, so to speak, all the different senses, many of which are dedicated to Torah study for the purpose of tefillah. So now let's go back to the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara asks, Mordechai min ha-Torah minayim. What's the deeper meaning? Why is the Gemara searching for Mordechai in the Torah? And the answer is, minayim shebechol matzah ve-hester ponim. How do we know that in the situation of Hester Ponim, where the flow of history seems to be a natural cause and effect relationship, and we saw that even impacts on Esther at Tzadekis, who refused to, you know, she sent him the begadim, is how do we know that Mordechai can rise above the Hester Ponim? In other words, he's impervious, he's not influenced by the Hester Ponim, that God conceals his hand in history. V'eino choshev, and he's not going to come to the wrong mistaken conclusions that this is all a matter of natural cause and effect. Elatoli legami b'kodesh baruch, he realizes that we are totally dependent upon on divine mercy, and therefore we need the tefillah b'lev shalom that we spoke about for the bris krusa. And the Gemara answers, t'ksiv mar dror, and mar dror is symbolic of tefillah, as we saw ishe reich nichoach. And Mordechai is the bechid of tefillah, and he knows that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not going to attribute it to different sivos. He realizes that we can only put our trust and our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have to be mispalel b'lev shalom.
2 points. Number one, it's interesting that Esther is called Tzadekes, despite the fact that she intermarries.
You remind me of the sugi of Esther Kakol.
Yeah, very, very. And the second has to do with Pasha Zohar. We have the words Asher Korcha Badera, very the same root. Asher Korcha Badera.
Right, that the whole impetus and the power of Amalek is to try to influence us to think that everything is part of a natural order, a natural cause and effect situation. This is anything I quote to you that's relevant to Purim. Ah, you're not in my 11:45, so that's why you don't know.
Yeah, it's all from a sefer. On Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay. So this is all from a sefer called Gvuras Yitzchak, which we've been studying now for at least 2-3 weeks, I think. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara here. We're on Daf Yud Amud Beis.
The author is a Rosh Hashiva in Lakewood. Not in the great yeshiva of Lakewood, but in Lakewood.
Somebody told me, I don't know, I have to get Rabbi Yitzchak Sarotsky. Somebody told me that his yeshiva has many hundreds of students, even though it's not part of the, what's it called, Beis Medrash Gavoa, BMG.
That's a big place, BMG. Huh. I got a tour the other time.
I was told they're above 5,000, but that doesn't compare to the Mir. The Mir here in Yerushalayim is 9,000. I have to know that from the inside. They don't publicize those numbers, but okay. So if you take a look here on Daf Yud Amud Beis, we got up to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So let's see if we can count from the bottom of the page: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 lines up from the bottom. Okay, then. So the Gemara says the following: Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi pasach le pischol ahi parshas amehocha. He opens the study of Megillas Esther with a pasuk from the Tochacha in Parshas Kisava. And what's interesting is that the Tochacha itself is going to indicate something, according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, about the suffering and the anguish that the Jewish people experienced at the time of Haman. So by way of introduction, I would say the following. The suffering of the people of Israel at the hands of Rishayim throughout Jewish history can be understood on two levels. The most fundamental level, and that's obviously what persecution is all about, is the Jews feel that their whole existence is vulnerable and there's no knowing whether or not the enemies will succeed in destroying us. That's on one level. There's another level to relate to the terrible evil that's perpetrated against the Jewish nation, and that's what the Tochacha is all about, is the fact that our enemies have a sense they gloat, you know, they're very happy, and they rejoice in our destruction. And this is what Rabbi Shmuel Levi wants to derive from a pasuk in Parashas Kisavo. It says, "V'haya kasher sas Hashem aleichem lehetiv eschem kein yosis lahara eschem." Now, the first part of the pasuk speaks about the fact that we rejoice when God bestows good upon us. But that's only an introduction to the Tochacha in the Sefer, this pasuk. The word Kein means that there's another kind of Simcha. Not the Simcha of the Jewish people rejoicing when we experience salvation and protection and divine, and when the divine being bestows upon us kindness and mercy, but the opposite. A Simcha of Lahara Eschem, a kind of Sas, which we call Sason, of evil that's perpetrated against us. Now, what does that mean? On one level, this is the Havamina of the Gemara, which the Gemara is about to reject. You can say that, just like it says in the first part of the Pasuk, Sos Hashem, so too in the end of the Pasuk, Kein Yosis, the word Yosis is also referring to God. And if that be the case, then God is happy about the destruction of evil. And when the enemies of the Jewish people are decimated, and the Gemara says you can't accept that pshat. It cannot be that the word yosis here is that God is rejoicing in the destruction of our enemies. Because the Gemara says, umi chadi, is it really true that God rejoices in the destruction, the downfall of our enemies? We have a principle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shall Rishoim, is not happy, and that's what he says based on a pasuk in Divrei Hayom HaKsiv, Bitseis lifnei hechalutz viomrim hodu Lashem ki. What's the next word? Don't even look in the Gemara. Hodu Lashem ki. Ki tov. Oh, you left out the word tov, and the word tov is left out over here. That's what Rabbi Yochanan's going to make a big deal throughout Tehillim, and we have full shiros which start Hodu Lashem, and then it go on Ki Tov. Here it says Hodu Lashem, and then it says Ki Liolam Chazdo. Omer Rav Yochanan Mei Malo Nemar Ki Tov Bo Dazu. David Amel constantly repeats Hodu Lashem Ki Tov. It's a refrain, and here the pasuk, which is again attributed to David Amel, says Hodu Lashem, but it says Ki Liolam Chazdo. He omits the word Tov. And Rabbi Yochanan derives from this omission an amazing principle. L'fi she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu sameach b'mapolosan shel rishoyim. Now, truth be told, Rabbi Osir, on the side, I was always under the impression, and I don't know where I got it from, that the exception to that rule is Amalek. That Hashem does rejoice at the destruction of Amalek. But this Gemara gives me the opposite impression, because the Gemara is going to apply this to Haman. And even in regard to Haman, the pasuk cannot be referring to God rejoicing, because God does not rejoice at the downfall of our Rishoyim. In other words, even when the Rishoyim fall in battle and to the sword, nevertheless, it doesn't say Ki Tov. The great singer of Israel, the praises of God, does not add the word Ki Tov here, because it's not going to be Tov. It's ultimately evil. Even the destruction of our enemies is evil. And the reason for that is because God really, he has hope that even the worst Rishoyim will somehow do tshuva. And if that doesn't happen, God is not happy about that. And this is going to be the famous discussion about the Malachim at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. You remember, they wanted to recite Shir and HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped them. The Omer of Yochanan, with regard to Kriyas Yamsuf, my detziv lo karav ze el ze kol alayla. What does it mean, lo karav ze el ze kol alayla? So he says the following, that malachim use, whenever you see malachim singing praise to God, it always says v'kara zel zevi omar, right? That's a pasuk in... Where is it? Yecheskel?
It's Yecheskel.
Okay. So the Karazel says the Gemara is now applying this pasuk in Shmos.
Yishayo.
Oh, it's in Yishayo. Of Karazel, lo Karazel said to the Malachim. The Malachim are begging to or anxious to give Shira, to recite Shira. Shabik Shemalach Shos Loma Shira. Right? Kedarkom of Karazel Zevi Omar. But Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. I don't want to hear your Shira now. This is not a time, an appropriate time for song of praise. Why? Because my seal the top of the Yadam, Ve'atim Omar Shira, question mark. My creatures, my handiwork, human beings are drowning in the sea, and you're going to recite Shira? There's a whole long discussion about how the people of Israel were able to recite Shira. And what's the difference between the Malachim that were stopped and Hashem arrested them for reciting as they were about to embark on Shira, as opposed to Klal Yisrael? I'll get back to that in just a minute. But before we get back to that, I just want to get back on track in terms of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi now has to reinterpret the end of the pasuk in the Tochacha that says Kain Yosis Lahara Eschem. What does it mean, Kain Yosis? It can't be referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God is happy. Amar Rav Lazar, and this is a tough one, Rabosai. This is really gives us a shudder and a pain. Who enosos? God is not going to be happy. Aval acherim is a reference to our enemies. Mesis, he actively makes them happy. So Rabosai, what we're saying is, and this is so hard for us, when our enemies rejoice at our downfall, and this is so contemporary because any time Jews are killed, and I'll tell you a quick story. My wife was 8 months pregnant with our Bechar. We lived in Malei Adumim, not Malei Adumim today. I'm talking about the Malei Adumim that's much closer to Yericho. And when she was pregnant and it was getting close to the end, there was a local ambulance in Malei Adumim. I still remember his name. The driver's name was Elio. And he drove us to Hadassah, where my wife gave birth. And that very morning, there was a pigua in a place called Ein Fashchan. A number of Israelis were killed. And as we're driving with the ambulance, passing through Abu Dis and all El Azariah and all the Arab towns over there that are not very friendly, they were lined up on both sides of the road, clapping and dancing, thinking that this was another person who was injured in the pigua that was being taken to Hadassah Hospital. Now, when you look at this, and again, I'm just telling you one little story, but you and I could see it on the news all the time, all the enemies of the Jewish people are rejoicing. We think of that as the rishis of the Rishonim, and it is the rishis of the Rishonim, but the Gemara now is shedding a whole new light on it. It's also part of a divine plan. Part of the Tochacha is for the Jewish people to experience not just the anguish and the suffering and the subjugation, but to also experience that our enemies are rejoicing. That's also part of the Tochacha. And how do I know this? Because of the word mesis. Mesis is Lashon Hif'il. Hif'il means causative. Hashem is causing our enemies to be happy. V'deka Nami, the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you from the language, the choice of the Pasuk in Hebrew grammar. D'chsiv Kein Yosis. Yosis again is Lashon Hif'il, to cause someone to be happy. V'lo K'siv Yosus. It's not that God is telling us in the Tochacha, predicting that our enemies will have happy hearts when we go down. But rather it's Yosis. God is going to cause them to be happy. Shmamina, therefore we see that it's clear. Now, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is using this pasuk to refer to Purim. And he's saying that not only was the Gzera, the decree, issued against the Jewish people for their annihilation, but on top of it all, the Oivim, our enemies, were so happy and they rejoiced. And the Marsha quotes a pasuk in Megillus Esther. It says, "Vayetze Haman b'yom ha'hu." Remember the end of the pasuk? Anybody? No. Sameach v'tov lev. In other words, the pasuk goes out of its way to tell us something. Like I would have said, "Who gives a darn?" You know what I'm saying? Why do I have to know in Netzach Nitzachim that Haman goes out after the decree is signed, but v'tov lev, right? Sameach v'tov lev. And the answer is that this is part of the divine plan, and this is part of the tochacha. Now let's go back for a moment to the famous statement that we just learned in the Gemara, that Bikshu Malach Yashar Yisrael Mashim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared, Maisa Yodah Tovim Bayam Vatem Omrim Shira. How could it be? So he says the following, that the word Shira in this Gemara should be reinterpreted. This is all based on the Marashah. And the word Shira here in this context means Hallel. And what it means is that the Malachim thought that this occasion, this tremendous miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, is an occasion for Hallel. However, Hallel is not to be confused or identified with Shira. So the Marashah is making a fundamental distinction between two concepts that sound to us almost identical, and that's Hallel on the one hand and Shira on the other hand. Shiras Yisrael, which starts with Oz Yashir, Lo Hoysa Hallel. And he says the following, Eino Choshesh Lomar Shira Af B'Shah She'Tovim HaMitzvah B'Yam. He says, Shira could be appropriate even when the Mitzrim are drowning in the sea. Hallel is inappropriate. And then he goes on to add another element into the equation. He says, V'dafki Yisrael Omrim Shira. The Malachim cannot sing Shira because Yisrael Heim HaNitzolim Mi'atzara. They personally experienced the salvation. U'B'Shah Zu, at the time of the salvation, Omrim Shira. It wasn't like their existence where it was in the balance. Ein roi lahem lomar shira klal. And therefore they're not shaykh to shira. They can only be shaykh to halil. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says halil is inappropriate at the time of Maisa Yodah Tovim B'Yam. Now I have to admit to you that there's got to be a lot more under the surface here than what we said. Do you follow what I mean? On a technical level, you know, there's something called Hallel, there's something called Shira, but what's the fundamental difference between the two? And I think, again, I'm just trying to, you know, touch the tip of the iceberg here. This is what I'm going to tell you now. It's not really the answer to that question. It doesn't solve our problems. But I think Hallel is a set, formal structure that has a sequence. There are definite chapters in Sefer Tehillim, and it forms a body or a unit. That unit can only be used and can only be recited on certain occasions. And Shira is something else. Shira doesn't require a matir, it doesn't require an occasion. Shira is a spontaneous song to thank Hashem for whatever happened as we experienced it. The Malachim are not shaykh to Shira. The Malachim could, for example, every morning we recite Kiddusha. I mean, a few times, but it's always the Malachim. We're sort of imitating the Malachim. Kiddusha, like Hallel, is a set formal structure with definite psukim and definite ideas. It's not like what you'd call poetry in the sense of I spontaneously burst out in a song of praise. So again, I'm not telling you that, you know, let me say it this way, Harbe Yosef Mashikosovka. There's a lot more here than what I told you, but just to, like for example, do we say Hallel on the 7th of Pesach?
No. Half. I mean,
we say half Hallel is nothing. We don't say Hallel. Right. There's no Hallel on the 7th of Pesach. Right? And that's interesting. I mean, you would think that on the great, you know, to commemorate the great miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, which, right, for all intents and purposes, guarantee the survival of the Jewish people, we should be saying Hallel. But again, the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow Hallel. And the Marashah says that even though the word in the Gemara is Shira, the reference here is Hallel. That is, obviously there's a textual problem here, according to the Marashah. You know, we have a glitch in the system, but the Marashah still insists that we're talking here in the sugi about Hallel.
I have two questions. One is, this is just a quick question. Do the Ashkenaz, when you recite, when we recite full Hallel, is the bracha different?
Rigmar Hallel, you mean?
Yeah. Do you use a bracha differently?
No, only amongst Sfaradim, I think.
Yeah, because we only say a bracha when we do the full challah.
Right, and what is the bracha? It's ligmar as well, no? Yeah. Because that's based on the Rambam. The Rambam says there are 18 days, and in Chutzlah it's 21 days, of gemira sahal. That's the Rambam. So, shegomer b'ene sahal. It's based on a sugyan erechim. And the nusach ha-bracha, according to the Rambam, has to reflect this gemira sahal. So, hal b'halel, with all due respect, is garnished. It's nothing. I mean, again, I'm being very extreme here. I'm being a little bit, if you want to say, facetious. What I mean to say is that half a halal, for example, Sfaradim don't make a broth on half halal.
No.
Like with, maybe there are a few exceptions, you know.
No,
there is, I think, I forget, some Tunisian Jews maybe that on Rosh Chodesh, if you're davening Bitzibur and there's a minyan, they'll make a broth. But generally speaking, because you can't make a broth on half halal. That's what I say, that halal is a formal structure. It's what you call in Briscoe language a cheftah. It's a cheftah of halal. It's an entity. Shira is something totally different. Like Shira's Dvorah, wherever we see Shira's Chana, any concept of Shira has nothing to do with halal. So I owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to the Marsha, because when I read this Gemara, I was perplexed. You know, you talk Kodesh Baruch Hu saying you're reciting Shira and my creatures are drowning.
And then we just had Azir Shira right afterwards.
Azir Shira, I mean, there it is, Azir Shira. You know, and we get so much scar. I mean, there are statements of Chazal that indicate that all the future of the redemption of Kodesh is because of Azir Shira, Moshe of Israel, Shira ourselves.
Well, I wonder also that the other question I had is actually, one other quick question on Justin is when you recite on Chetzichal, do you recite a bracha before and after, or is it just
it's always packaged deal?
But the could it also be? I mean, this is a little different than Mashar saying that perhaps, you know, because the Malachim are, you know, they're agents of God and everyone's God's creation, but we as Jews, when we're saved, we have the right to pray. We have the right to sing and praise.
Right.
Perhaps, you know, have the rishus to do that.
Yeah, I think that's what he means when he says Hamalochim einam nitzolim. That was his language. V'lachein ein roi lehem lomar shira klal. Avol Yisrael shehem nitzolim mitzarosam is hem omrim shira. Again, Rabbi Moshe, I'm leaving this Gemara right now, but I'm telling you, I don't even think we scratched the surface of this Gemara.
The problem is this: that, you know, so many. Like conservative reform Jews and, you know, all the people in Tikkun Olam, they cite this all the time as
but again, that's why I say this has to be understood in a much broader context. Let's go on, Rabosa. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Pasach Lepischol HaYiparsha Mihocha, he quotes a pasuk in Koheles. Now let me read the entire pasuk in Koheles. It says, "Ki li adam shetov lefanov," for this man, unidentified, some anonymous man who has good going for him, or he goes forward with good. Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows three things: chachma, vidas, v'simcha. V'lachote nasan inyon leso v'lichnos. So there's a whole world here in this pasuk, but we're going to focus on the first part of the pasuk, which is li adam shetov lefanov. Tov lefanov means he goes forward with goodness in front of God. He's good in the ways of God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon such a good person three things: chachma, das, and simcha. So Rabbi Abba says the following. And Mordechai Tzadik is granted three elements: Chachma, Das, and Simcha. So here I want to read to you a Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara Menachos tells us that Mordechai had Chachma, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin. And the Gemara establishes that in order to sit on Sanhedrin, you have to be a Baal Chachma. You have to be a Baal Yediyah. Okay, there are two concepts here, Chochma and Das. And you have to know Shivim Lashon. And Mordechai has a few names, the Gemara says. One of his names is Psachya. Psachya means he was a great Darshan who was Biposeach Bidrasha. He was also called Balshon, which means that he knew all the Lashonos. Balshon is a word, that it's a conjugation, the root of it, which is Lashonos. So we have here three elements of Mordechai. Number one, he is someone who has Chachma. Number two, he has someone who has what's called Zikna or Das. So there's Chachma and Das. You know, in Chabad they have Chachma, Bina, Das. I mean, these are, you have to know the different elements. And then there's a third element, and that's called Balshon. That not only does he have Das, which means he has the ability to communicate in this context, and that's called Psachya, he also has another name, Balshon, because he knows 70 languages. Now, all this reflects on the criterion or the profile to sit on the Sanhedrin. You know, a person who wants to be a member of the Sanhedrin, he has to be endowed with these three elements. Number one, Chachma, in a sense, maybe we could call it abstract knowledge, and then Das is a more worked out knowledge, fleshed out. It's the ability to transmit your knowledge, and then finally you have to have this knowledge of 70 Lashonos. So let's go on for a minute, and then I'll take questions. I just want to finish. Can you give me just 1 second to finish Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, so we see the whole picture? The end of the pasuk says, "V'lachote nasan inyon leso feliknos." So what is the end of the pasuk? Zeh Haman. So what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows Haman, who is called the Chote, lesof v'liknos, to gather together? So the answer is, says the Marsha, pon v'osher gadol. The pasuk indicates, it says, v'yisaper lehem Haman es kvod oshro, meaning that he was very wealthy. That means he had a gathering and a collection of very valuable possessions. Right, you know, in the context of World War II, you would say they confiscated all our artwork, if you know what I mean. Lases litov lifnei Elokim. Now, what's strange here is that the pasuk began with Adam shetov lefanov, and that was a reference to Mordechai. Then it went on to say Chote nasan. And that was Haman. But now we get to the last piece in the pasuk, and that says Lases Litov Lifnei Elokim. And according to Rabbi Abba, the end of the pasuk goes back to the beginning of the pasuk. And what is Lases Litov Lifnei Elokim? That God has just bestowed upon Haman, as we saw, a tremendous amount of wealth. And what's the ultimate destiny, so to speak, of that wealth? Where's that wealth going to go? Lases litov lifnei elokim. It's going to go back to the person at the beginning of the pasuk, who's tov, and that's Mordechai. The Gemara also adds Esther. The pasuk says, "Vatosem Esther es Mordechai al beis Haman," so that Mordechai takes over Beis Haman, and now any wealth that accrued to Haman is now taken by Mordechai, and all this is indicated in this pasuk. Yeah.
What is v'simcha? Nasan chachma das v'simcha.
So that the Marsha doesn't address. I'll read to you again the Marsha. He says, based on the Gemara in Menachos, that Anshei Sanhedrin is ein moshim v'Sanhedrin. What are the criterion? Is bali chachma. And Yodim Shivim Lashon Bali Zikna Vidas, but he doesn't tell you what the word Simcha means. Maybe Rashi says something here. Take a look and see if Rashi says anything. I didn't get a chance to do that.
He doesn't say much on this page. I just find this is interesting because the parallel between when Achashverosh is sitting and saying, what should I do for a man who's essentially
that person?
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it's almost like a parallel. You know, here this is what God does for. That's what whereas Achashverosh just puts clothing on him and parades him through a city. You know, it's nothing. It's temporary. It's nothing meaningful. I mean, all it is you get paraded through the city, and the next day, who knows what happens to you? It's very different than what a Kadosh Baruch Hu would do.
I just want to add one thing here. The One of the big kashas here on this pasuk, Vatosem Esther Mordechai al Beis Haman, is that we have a law with regard to Amalek that we're not allowed to benefit from anything that they own. We have to just get rid of it. And there's a kasha, how is it therefore that Esther appoints Mordechai over Beis Haman? I mean, Beis Haman should have been included in the Iser of Bishlolim Lo Yavos. And this pasuk seems to assume like there's a special, you know, divine promise here that it doesn't mean that necessarily that Mordechai is going to pocket this money. You know, now he's going to transfer it over to his bank account, or he's going to register it in the
Yeah. He went right back to Achashverosh.
Maybe it goes back to Achashverosh,
and then Achashverosh right. gives.
But nevertheless, in that middle stage, it's very important to show divine intervention. You know, the whole purpose of Purim is to demonstrate publicly, you know, the great miracles of God.
I'm saying the answer of what Amalek, why he can get through, because it was Amalek's. Now the Melech took it, so
right.
It's no longer
Amalek. Yeah, I heard what you said, but I'm just saying. Nevertheless, it's very important for the pasuk to say, Tosem Esther Mordechai al Beis Haman, even if technically it doesn't go into his bank account. But this is part of the divine revelation here, that God had a plan. He endows Haman with a great deal of wealth, and that wealth is going to be confiscated, in quotation marks, by Mordechai. Rabba Bar Ofran, I never heard of this name, Ofran. It sounds like a modern Hebrew name, right? Rabba Bar Ofran. Pasach le'piskalai parshas so mehocha from a pasuk Yirmiyahu Novi. The pasuk says, "V'samti kis'i be'elam, v'havadati misham melech v'sarim." So Yirmiyahu HaNavi is speaking about some city which is called Elam, and that's where God's divine chair, so to speak, His throne, is hovering over Elam, and from that divine chair, I will destroy a king and his officers. Says Rava, what is this referring to? Elam is a reference to Shushan HaBira. Shushan HaBira was located in one of the various provinces of Paras u'Madai under the dominion of Achashverosh. And in this particular case, Shushan was located in a province that was called Elam. And this we know from a pasuk in Daniel. Because the pasuk Daniel, Rashi quotes it here, says "B'shushana bira asher bi'elam hamedina." So the word "elam" in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu is a reference to Shushan. Again, even though there's no equation here between Shushan and Elam, other than the fact that Shushan is located in Elam. And then what happens when the king, when the divine throne is located in Elam, meaning in Shushan? Va'avadati misham melech v'sarim. Melech zo Vashti, v'sarim ze Mordechai v'aseres bonov. Haman v'aseres bonov. See, I was hoping that the word melech was a reference to Achashverosh, but that the Gemara couldn't accept, because nowhere do we find that God destroyed Achashverosh. So therefore we have to reinterpret the word melech. Sarim means someone who really aspired to be the king, but he never got that high. And that's Haman. He's the Sarah Gadol in the Malchus of Achashverosh. He and his 10 sons are going to be destroyed. But then what does the word Melech mean? It's a reference to Vashti. Now, how can you call Vashti a Melech?
She was the real Malchus, yeah.
Right, because she was the daughter of Belshazzar, who was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, who was the Melech Bavel. So her father and her grandfather reigned as kings in Bavel, in Bavel. So we see that the word Melech can refer to Vashti as well. So it's very interesting that in Rabbah's drasha, there's got to be a pasuk that refers to the destruction of Vashti. And that again would support the Pnei Yoshua that we mentioned yesterday, that all these pasach pischi lahai parshas mihocha is in order to justify the beginning of the Megillah and why we have to know about the destruction of Vashti. Rav Divi Bar Yitzchak, Pasuk Le'Pitzchai Parshas Mehocha, from a Pasuk in Ezra. And now we turn to Daf Yud Aleph Omer Aleph. The Pasuk in Ezra says the following: Ki Avodim Anachnu U Be'Avdusenu Loazavunu Elokim Vayita Olenu Chesed Lifnei Malchei Paras. And the end of the pasuk is Loseis Lanu Michya. So Ezra Sofer makes Aliyah to Yerushalayim, and at that particular point in time, unfortunately, many Jews were intermarried. And when Ezra knew about this, he found out about this, he ripped his garments and he sat Mishomem Ad L'Minchas HaErev Umi Minchas HaErev Kamti Mita Anisai Umi Kroi B'Gadi Umi Eloi V'Echra Al Birki. These are all the expressions of Avelus of Ezra when he finds out about the intermarriage. V'Efrasa Kapai El Hashem Elokai. He turns to Hashem with supplication, the Omra, and he says, Alakai boshti v'nechlamti laharim alakai ponai elecha ki avodim anachnu ubavduseinu lo azavnu alakeinu, that God, you haven't forsaken us even though we've reached this low state. Vayet olenu chesed lifnei malchei pores loseis lanu michya, that you gave somehow a favor in the eyes of the kings of Paras so that we could continue to exist. Amosai, when did this prophecy of Ezra come to pass? Bizman Haman, at the time of Haman. And what happened at the time of Haman? There was a gzeir against the Jewish people, Hashmin Lariglabit, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu not alenu chesed. That's the Vayet alenu chesed. Lifnei Malchei Paras means Lifnei Achashverosh. He's Mimalchei Paras. To be Mavatal is Gzera. And Lasei Slanu Michya Lamideinu Mechayim. So that we could still survive. Rabbi Chananya Bar Papa Pasach Lepisklai Parash Samiocha Pasach Intilim Her Kavta Enosh L'Roshenu Banu Ba'esh Uvamayim. So Rabbi Chanina darshins this Pasach. When was it that Banu Ba'esh, because Nebuchadnezzar instituted a decree that anyone who refuses to bow down to the Geshka, to the Tzelem, he will be thrown into an iron, a furnace, a burning furnace. So that's Ba'esh. And then it says Ubamayim. When did that, what is David HaMelech referring to, alluding to here? Be made paro that kol aben hayilod liora yashlichu. And then it says vatatzienu lirvacha, but you took us out for salvation, and that was fulfilled be made Haman when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from Haman. Rabbi Yochanan Pasuk Lepisklai Parshas Mehocha from a Pasuk until him Zachar Chazdovem on a soul of base Israel ro kol afse oretz ace Yeshua's Elokeinu. So Rabbi Yochanan darshins, Amosai, when was the fulfillment of this pasuk that says, Ro kol afse oretz, that even the people on the ends of the earth, the far-flung corners of the globe, would also see or perceive Yeshua's Elokeinu? Bimei Mordechai v'Esther. Because at that time they sent igros to the entire world, and it became public knowledge that they were freed from their enemies, and they were able to avenge their enemies, and this was a pirsum b'chol afse oretz. And here I have a footnote which I wanted to share with you from the Marsha, of course, and he says the following: Vayishlach Sfarim. It says in the pasuk in Esther Perkes biyada rotzim basusim asher nosan amelch la Yehudim asher b'chol ir vili lehi kohel v'lamad al nafsham lahashmid larigul la'abed is kol chel am u'medina hatzorim osam linosein das b'chol medina medina golui l'chol ha'amen. So the Sfarim went out with the rotzim, the susim, and it went to every single city and every medina within the provinces of Paras Umadai, Golu L'chol Amen. That's what this pasuk is referring to. Ro Kol Afse Oretz is Yeshua Salukenu. We're up to Reish Lakish. We didn't start Reish Lakish yet, so we're on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph.
Seven. Okay. Seven. Yeah, so we got through that. Okay.
Yeah. So he says the following: the pasuk in David HaMelech says it mentions both Chazdo and Emunoso. What's the difference between Chazdo and Emunoso? He says the following: that there were members of the Jewish people who really did not deserve this salvation, because they enjoyed the suit of Achashverosh and whatever other Averis they were guilty of. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves them in the Zchus of the Tzaddikim. It's sort of like, you know, Avraham Avinu in stone, you know, you can't destroy. And that's called Chazdo. Chazdo means it doesn't make sense, according to justice, that these Jews should have been spared. But there's a mitzvah of Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he spares the Tzaddikim, he spares the Rishoyim as well. I shouldn't say Rishoyim, but anyway, those who aren't up to par. Then, the fact that Hashem saves the Tzaddikim, even though the Tzaddikim themselves are worthy to be saved, but yet God has to intervene in order to save them, that's called Emunoso. Emunoso means that God is reliable, right? Emuna means that you can rely on Hashem, that when need be, the tzaddikim will be spared. And then it says Lebeis Yisrael. And Beis Yisrael, says the Marsha, is a reference to Esther. Why is Beis Yisrael an allusion to Esther? Because Nashim are always considered a bias. Like, for example, it says Beis Yaakov, and Chazal say that's referring to the women folk. Here it says Beis Yisrael, not Beis Yaakov, but it's referring to the women. Which woman is it referring to specifically? It's referring to Esther. And the end of the pasuk says, Ro Kalaf Seyoretz. That means the Yeshua of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought for the salvation for Klal Yisrael was known B'chol HaOlam. It was public knowledge. Kevin Shemalchus Achashverosh Hoysa B'chol HaOlam. His dominion spread throughout the entire globe. V'nimtza Shenes HaTzola HaZeh Hoyal Yehudim B'chol Makom B'chol Makom. It was known to everyone. This is the great publicity of the miracle that's indicated in this pasuk. Ro kol afsei haaretz es yeshuas Elokeinu. Now we're up to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish pasuk lepiskol iparshas mihocha pasuk mishlei ari. So we're referring to a lion. Nohem is the roaring of a lion. Dov, a bear. You know, the lion and the bear are two of the most powerful chayos that we have in the forest, in the jungles. Shokek, the dove, lets out a shkika. It's also a kind of a roar. Moshel Rasha, and therefore the Rasha has dominance over al upon Amdol, a poor nation. So Reish Lakish derives the following. Ari Noem, this is an allusion to Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, because in Yirmiyahu HaNavi it says, Dechsivbe, Ola Aryeh Misuvcho. Now I'm not sure if it says Misuvcho. Can you see it a little better than I do? Does it say Misuvcho?
That's what it says.
Oh, it does say Misuvcho? Okay. So the Marsha points out that this pasuk is in the Nevu of Yirmiyahu, who prophesies that Nebuchadnezzar Melch Bavel is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And Nebuchadnezzar is compared to an Aryeh, to the lion, because the lion is the king of animals. Ein Misha Ya'omei Lufa. No one could contest against the lion. And Yaleh, he says, Misu Koso. Now I have Misu Bacho, but somehow he's saying that Misu Bacho is somehow a reference to Sukoso, Shushokhev Batamid, that the Aryeh has a little tent, so to speak, where he hangs out. There must be a fancy word in English for that, but I don't know what it is. And what's called a den, maybe a den, but I'm thinking of a different one. But anyway, a den, the lion's den. Ulefisha nases misivche etzim. Ah, so the Marsha wants to understand, he quotes the Radak, why is it that this sukkah, this den of a lion, is called sivchi? It should be sukasi or something along that line. So he says it's made of wood that is called suvcho. That's the name of the wood or the tree. Yeah.
The translation article is misuvcho is thicket.
So like a thicket. Excellent. Thicket. I like that word. Okay, now dov shokek zachashverosh. The bear is Achashverosh. So the lion is Nebuchadnezzar, the bear is Achashverosh. The Sivbe, it says in Daniel. Now Daniel also has a vision that's a little bit similar, reminiscent to that of Yechezkel, of the Arba Chayos, the four, you know, monstrous beasts that symbolically represent the four Malchios, the four kingships that are going to subjugate the Jewish people during the course of their history in Golos. And amongst the four animals, there's the Ari Cheva. There is the live Ari. And then there's Achei Tnana Domhei Ledov. And there's another animal that looks like a bear. V'tani Rav Yosef, what is this animal that looks like a bear? Which of the four kingships does it symbolize? Elu Parsim. And now, what is the relationship between Paras and the bear? Because bears, Ochlim Vishosim Kidov, because the Parsim eat and drink a vast volume of food like the dove. The bear eats a tremendous amount. I don't know if he's referring to berries, by the way, because I think I read once that the bear consumes on a daily basis like hundreds of thousands of berries.
Yeah, I mean, it also eats salmon. It eats, you know, it's an omnivore. It's, you know, if it can kill an animal, if it eats, you know.
A bear is a very, very dangerous animal. I'm not sure. Is it clear that a lion would defeat a bear?
It depends on the bear. I mean, if you're talking about a Kodiak bear, you know, or, you know, or a polar bear, they're really big, and it's very hard for a lion to defeat them.
To defeat them.
But if you had a whole pack of lions, you know, the lion working together, that's really all the difference.
Now, there's another description here of the dove, Misurbalim Basar, which means they wear lots of flesh, meaning they're very fleshy, they're very fat and thick, like a dove. In other words, the people of Paras enjoy, you know, hedonistic pleasures, and they fatten themselves up. They weren't into dieting, you know, they didn't eat spelt. They were eating all the meat and all the drinking all the wine that they could. Umagadlim Seir Kidov, apparently the Parasim had a lot of hair, like a furry dove, a fuzzy dove, a grizzly bear, or whatever it might be. V'ein lehem minucha kidov. And they keep moving around. In other words, even if you tie them up, so to speak, they're always moving around. You can't control them. Achashverosh is called a dove, and he's uncontainable. He writes in the name of the Marsha, Hizkir HaKosav as HaKashresh Mishum Shehu HaTzar LaYehudim B'Eshe Hiskim Im Haman B'Gzeroso. He is also an enemy of the Jewish people, the dove. Why? Because HaKashverosh signs the decree and he's willing to do away with the entire people. The Marsha goes on a step further and he says, V'chein Gazar HaKashverosh decreed Shelo Yivnu as Beis HaMikdash. He's the one who halted the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll get to that later with Ad Chatziah Malchus, if you remember that. And he says the following. He says, Moshel Rasha. The Pasuk indicates that the Rasha is going to control and subjugate. Zeh Haman, he's the Tzorer LaYehudim. He's the one who institutes the Gzeira of La'arig La'ashmet La'amid. Al-Amdol, against the nation that's very poor or very weak. Elu Yisrael Shem Dalim Min HaMitzvahs. Interesting. According to this drasha, the dalus here is a symbolic representation of religious observance, or in this case, the paucity and the limited dedication to mitzvos, and therefore they were chayav the destruction. So we'll stop here with Rabbi Eliezer, and if it's Hashem, we'll pick this up tomorrow.